around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Sure wish I'd have took my allergy pill. I forgot. I didn't remember. Sorry, Sandy. I did not remember to take my allergy pill. But anyway, we'll get through this hour. Currently, it is 61 degrees. It's fair and breezy. The winds are out of the south at 22 miles an hour. And dew point's 40. And I have some gust up to 30 right now. I was just going to go through a few things that I discovered while ago that it's not good news for all of us. But so the rain forecast for the next 10 days for Western Oklahoma, it just don't look good, according to the National Weather Service. Just want to throw that out there at you. And our 10-day temperature outlook looks like we are going to be well above normal up till December 4th. So our temperatures are going to be warm basically for the rest of the deer season. How's that? And we're supposed to be, except for when that front moves through tonight, and tomorrow's going to be chilly. And after that, we're back up into the 60s and 70s. It just don't look too bueno for the farmers and ranchers. Sorry, we need the rain. We honestly need the rain. The fire watch for today is elevated, so for Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, so everybody just pay attention to what you're doing. I know there was a fire started somewhere yesterday east of here by a chain dragon on the blacktop, and with no humidity and low humidity and the dew point being really low, she caught fire pretty good. Well, I'll wish it again at the end of the hour, but I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving coming up. My show won't be on tomorrow or Friday, so I'm going to do some farming and maybe sneak in some deer hunting, maybe sneak in some quail hunting too. My dog's a long-haired Griffon, and it's got to be in the 20s and 30s for her to do any good at all. She gets hot when it's in the 40s. I mean, that's how heavy her coat is. So I've been waiting, and it's not coming, and she's ready to go. So we're going to probably go try it out early in the morning anyway for a few hours. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading. But before I get to that, cash prices, grain prices in Oklahoma at 11 a.m. this morning, looking really good. Hard red winter wheat at $8.36 a bushel. Corn's at $5.76. Milo's at $5.79. Soybeans are at $12.05 a bushel. And cotton has gone up. It's $1.21 a pound. So great. That's good news for our cotton farmers. They need some good money going into that deal. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading amid worries about global supplies. The wheat harvest in Australia has been delayed by continuing rainfall in major growing areas of New South Wales and southern Queensland, Commodity Weather Group said in a report. Heavy rains in eastern Australia are expected to continue into the weekend, which will further delay collection and raise concerns about damage, the forecaster said. Russia, the world's largest exporter of the grain, has imposed export tariffs on wheat shipments in a bid to ensure domestic inventories and may further add levies and other restrictions on grain movement. The pace of exports from the country dropped 18% year over year since June 1st. Turkey was the biggest buyer at 3.4 million metric tons, followed by Egypt at 2.6 million tons, and Kosovo at 1 million tons. Russia is expected to export 36 million metric tons of wheat in the 21 and 22 marketing year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said in its report earlier. if realized, this that would be down from 38.5 million tons shipped in the previous marketing year. Corn and soybeans also were higher in overnight trading heading into the Thanksgiving holiday. Wheat futures for December delivery rose one penny to $8.68 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 5¾ cents to $8.89 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were up 3¾ cents to $5.92 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery gained 3½ to $12.76 a bushel. Soy meal fell 50 cents to $355.60 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.61 cents to 60.69 cents a pound. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5, and I'm Jimmy Clark. I want to let you guys know that today, one of my dedicated listeners, it's her birthday. Happy 28th birthday, Julie Brewer. And a lot of you guys know her from out there at the Chamber of Commerce, and she's on the morning show on KCO every Wednesday, but she is an avid listener of Today in Ag. So happy birthday, Julie. The text line is wide open. The KCO text line at 580-225-9697. If you guys will, do me a favor and text in what you guys want to give thanks for tomorrow. And I won't repeat any names or nothing. I'll just read them off. So if you would, I'd appreciate that, because there's always some interesting stuff comes across the text line here. The U.S. Department of Justice filed a civil antitrust lawsuit to keep U.S. Sugar from acquiring its rival Imperial Sugar, saying the acquisition would leave too much production in the hands of just two companies. Seems like we're going through that with the beef deal right now. The companies are both multi-billion dollar corporations, and the matchup would shrink what the DOJ calls a cozy sugar industry. The merger will kill competition in the sugar industry and potentially increase prices, lower quality, and reduce service, the agency said. This deal lessens competition at a time when global supply chain challenges already threaten steady access to important commodities and goods, said Jonathan Cantor, the assistant attorney general of the DOJ's, DOJ's antitrust division. The department, a lawsuit seeks to preserve the important competition between U.S. Sugar and Imperial Sugar and protects the resiliency of American domestic sugar supply. The government's complaint says U.S. Sugar operates a large Florida refinery and sells its refined products through the United Sugars, which is a marketing cooperative it owns along with three other producers. Imperial owns a refinery in Georgia. The other major player in the Southeast is American Sugar Refining, known for its known for its Domingo Sugars brand name. If the transaction is allowed to proceed, United Sugars and Domingo will control the vast majority of refined sugar sales in the region, enhancing the likelihood of going forward that will coordinate with each other and refrain from competing aggressively, according to the DOJ and its student. Thanksgiving Day travel, mostly unaffected by the weather, according to the National Weather Service. Strong winds are expected in much of Missouri today with gusts up to 35 miles an hour, according to the National Weather Service. Well, they got a lot of trees over there, so you won't even notice it. Winds will calm as the day goes on, but rain chances increase in the evening east of Interstate 35. Rains will leave the area through Thursday, leaving cooler weather that will last into the weekend, though travel isn't expected to be disrupted for Thanksgiving. In eastern Illinois, meanwhile, some gusty winds will kick around at about 40 miles an hour, making travel difficult for some high-profile vehicles, according to them. The only area that may see some minor travel disruptions is in parts of Arkansas. Winds will sustain from 10 to 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 30 miles an hour or more, the National Weather Service says. Rain chances return to the area in the evening along with some colder weather. Chances storms will linger into the area Thanksgiving morning before decreasing into the evening, lowering the odds of severe weather. Well, when I come back, I got a rooster and hen story for you. You guys will get a kick out of this one. This is by the Border Patrol. They caught some roosters and hens trying to get across at the border at Laredo. So anyway, when I come back, we'll get with that. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I am back. Current temperature is 61 degrees. Humidity is 46. Winds out of the south at 22, gusting up to 30. It's a little breezy out there. I'm sure my sprinklers on my side row have went down from 80 foot wide down to probably 60 foot or less. But it's getting some water on the wheat, and it's really liking it. I had a text in from... He actually wanted to say if I could say our names, and he said he could say my names. But anyway, Brandon Easter wanted to give thanks to his wife, Christina. And that's very nice of you, Brandon. I didn't know you were that kind of guy. But anyway, thanks for texting him. That was from Brandon Easter. But anyway, all right, here we go with the chickens. this is the heading of the story. The chickens that didn't cross the road in Laredo. So federal agents foiled plans for 47 roosters and hens that tried to cross the U.S. border at the Laredo port of entry on November 12th. And I don't know how many of you guys out there that are listeners have ever been down to that port of entry at Laredo. But it's special. I've been through it a few times. One time was not very good, and I'll tell you about that in a minute when I get through this story. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers and agriculture specialists intercepted a large clutch of live poultry hidden throughout a vehicle. These live birds were hidden inside the purse of the passenger in addition to being concealed underneath the seats and floor mats. These were live. These weren't dead. And inside the glove compartment and the trunk of the vehicle. A total of 47 fighting roosters and hens were discovered in what this one enforcement action at the gateway to the America's Bridge. This is a large quantity of live animals, a significant violation of federal agriculture law uncovered by our frontline CBP officers and agriculture specialists, and it resulted in a fine. The revocation of the driver's Sentry card and a vehicle seizure. In other words, he's not going to be coming back across legally. Port Director Alberto Flores, he's Laredo Port of Entry, said in the release, "We remind the traveling public the utilization of the Sentry is a privilege, and the violation of federal law revokes those privileges. The incident occurred when a U.S. citizen made entry via the Sentry lane and was referred for inspection by Border Patrol officials. At secondary, they discovered the live poultry in stockings underneath the front seat. Because of it was an agriculture finding, CBP agriculture specialists were called in to assist. Upon finding these 47 birds, a $500 penalty was issued by CBP agriculture specialists for attempting to import prohibited agriculture items while being a Sentry card holder. The Border Patrol reports the Sentry card was picked and up and turned into the Sentry Enrollment Center. The vehicle was seized by the Border Patrol, and the live poultry were transferred over to USDA Veterinarian Services. USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services regulation prohibits live birds, fresh eggs, and raw poultry from Mexico. Mexico is affected with the Newcastle disease, and these diseases are serious concerns for poultry and are highly contagious. Attempting to bring in these prohibited islands would lead to traveler delays and may result into fines up to $1,000. I would think $1,000 for 47 of them would have been more appropriate. But anyway, so that's my chicken story of the day. Anyway, you're listening to This is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Also, one time, I was working just north of Laredo. I was on the border, and we went through the checkpoint there north of Laredo on 183, I believe. Is it 83 or 183? Anyway, main highway going through there. I had my boss, my field superintendent with me. He's my boss, and I won't say names. And we had our engineer with us. And we was coming back from Laredo from Eaton. And the engineer might have had some or more than enough to drink. And he was riding in the front seat. I was in my wife's truck, of course, her blue one. And the boss was in the back seat. And we pulled up there, and they come up there, and he's got the dog with him. And it's pretty normal. And there's Border Patrol guys on horseback kind of moseying around out there, and he comes up there, and I said, "What's up?" And anyway, he said, "Are you guys U.S. citizens?" And my engineer, he's kind of out there on the left wing a little bit, and he says, "You can't ask us that." And I'm like, "Oh my God, here we go. We're going to jail." And that Border Patrol guy just smiled. And he said, "Are you guys citizens?" And my engineer just kind of gave him the dare and the headlight look. "Yeah, we're citizens. Okay, well, go ahead." So that Border Patrol officer wasn't in the mood for his crap that day. And we got past that Border Patrol, and I pulled over, and I grabbed that engineer, and I said, "If you ever do that again, I'm just going to kick you out the truck and let that dog have you." Because, I mean, if you guys have ever been to those port of entries here lately in the last 3 or 4 years, there ain't the nice guys they used to be about 10 or 20 years ago when we used to go to Juarez to watch the horse races and the dog races. It's not that way anyway. They're taking their stuff serious. And I don't blame them. It's a serious thing going on down there. Well, the beef, "It's what's for dinner," is an American advertising slogan and marketing campaign aimed at promoting the consumption of beef. The ad campaign, originally launched in 1992, man, it's been a long time ago, has been long-lived, highly effective, and award-winning. Because still my favorite one of the whole deal is Sam Elliott. I mean, he's got the voice for it. Beef, it's what for dinner. The slogan is said to be recognized by more than 88% of Americans. Accordingly, I borrowed this from a well-known phrase for my title. Thanksgiving is a time when America's come together to celebrate a holiday that connects each and every one of us. The holiday was first celebrated in 1621 when the Plymouth settlers joined with the Indians to enjoy a fall feast to celebrate a bountiful harvest. The tradition of Thanksgiving became official when President George Washington declared the nation would celebrate the day on November 26, 1789. President Abraham Lincoln wrote a proclamation declaring all states would celebrate the day in 1863. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a resolution from Congress in 1941 that established the official date of Thanksgiving to be the fourth Thursday in November of each year. While Thanksgiving is observed in various ways in different nations, and in America, the holiday is truly rooted into agriculture. We may bring our own flavors and traditions to the table, but Thanksgiving is a time for all of us to celebrate our nation's harvest and ability to efficiently produce food, to express gratitude for our blessings and look ahead to the future. Alexander Hamilton once proclaimed, "No citizen of the United States should feel refrained from turkey on Thanksgiving Day." With all due respect to Mr. Hamilton, whose ideals are credited with laying the foundation for the American government and finance, I encourage you to make plans to enjoy beef this year at Thanksgiving. Please give considerations to the following when planning. How much time do you have to spend cooking? If your answer is not much, consider grilling or pan frying. Middle meats from the beef carcass, like ribeye, strip loin, filet, and sirloin steaks, are very tender and can be cooked quickly at high temperatures on the grill or stovetop to seal in the tenderness, juiciness, and flavor. If you intend to grill or pan fry steaks, remember to give them adequate time to thaw. Burgers made from ground beef are also great with grilled or pan fried. If you have more time to spend in preparation, smoking or other oven roasting can result in the same tender beef flavor. Roast from the chuck or round can be seasoned and slow cooked to bring out melt-in-your-mouth flavor. Beef brisket is ideal for smoking and slow cooking. An intact rib roast also can work great for smoking or slow cooking. So what's your budget? Typically, the steaks or middle meats will be more expensive cuts to purchase. The cuts that acquire most cooking time because they contain more connective tissue be purchased at a lower price per pound. Ground beef is also less expensive. This year on Thanksgiving, I want to say thanks to American farmers, ranchers, and everyone in production agriculture that make it possible. Whatever we eat on Thanksgiving Day is a perseverance, efficiency, work ethic, and can-do attitude of American ag producers that permit us to spend a relatively small percentage of our income on food. Thanks for reading, and I hope you enjoy beef for Thanksgiving. And this was wrote by Mr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State University Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist. So I want everybody to give thanks to everybody in the ag industry. It doesn't matter whether you're the farmer, the rancher, the wife, the husband, the kids that do the bad chores, or people that supply the farmers and ranchers with their daily needs, chemicals, seed, equipment, fuel. So give thanks to all them guys for tomorrow when you're saying your prayer. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Right now, we're kind of struggling through some challenges in some of our office locations, not all of them, but across the Cotton Belt, we have 10 locations. We've probably seen delays in four of them that are more than what we're accustomed to. And the primary reason for those delays is labor shortages. We're struggling with some of the same challenges that other businesses are struggling with, both inside and outside of the cotton industry. Some of the same kind of issues that probably every town and city right now in America is struggling with. It's just a matter of getting enough labor, especially in our seasonal ranks. Our permanent staff is intact, but we rely so heavily on our seasonal employees each year. And that number at any given time, anywhere from about 1,500 seasonal employees all the way up to what can be 2,500 to 3,000 seasonal employees nationwide. So we're just having a hard time getting those numbers this year because of all of the other reasons it's causing labor shortages. And I think the other big contributing factor is that the season is late everywhere. So where we sometimes see the season might be late in certain areas of the country, this year it was late in all areas of the country. So every region across the belt had a late season. Well, what that does is that causes all of the cotton, when it does start coming in, kind of come in all at once across the board. So if we run into a delay somewhere, we really don't have the benefit of being able to divert cotton maybe to another office that's closer to finishing up their season or hasn't really gotten started really heavy yet. So we can sometimes balance that workflow when we have offices that kind of serve as backups. Another backup that we traditionally use is our quality assurance division here in Memphis. So if we get a little behind somewhere, we can send cotton up here to Memphis and they can help it out. But this year, with everything coming off late, we really don't have that luxury. So it's kind of a combination of things. Another contributing factor to what we're seeing this year is getting equipment serviced. So in our offices, we have a lot of equipment, not just the grading, the classing equipment, but things like the HVAC systems, our air compressor systems that provide air to the grading instruments, our overall building systems, all of those are subject to needing service. And so when we have something go out, trying to get service in a timely fashion this year is difficult because those companies are also short of labor. Where there's a part or something that has to be ordered, we're seeing supply chain delays in those respects. So it's kind of a combination of things that's going on this year. We're taking all kinds of creative strides to try to remedy the situation. I mean, we've increased our pay levels for our seasonal employees. We had done that prior to this season. We did that actually last year when we were seeing some of the same things kind of happen last year, but not to the same extent of this year. So we've increased pay levels to try to stay competitive with other businesses and industries. We've incentivized, we put some incentives in place to not only attract new employees, but to retain them. We're doing some flexibility in some of our shifts to try to accommodate those that might want to work for us, but might have another job that they're working and it overlaps a little bit. So we're trying to be flexible in that regard. I would expect that we'll probably continue to do that into next year because at this point, I have no idea what the labor market's going to look like in 2022 and 23. So we're going to continue to try to use those types of things to not only attract new employees, but to retain them and attract our existing employees that come back year after year. Now, we're putting in some technologies that I think will help us down the road. Like we're automating a lot of our offices. And by automating, we're automating part of the flow of cotton, which will reduce the labor requirement in each office. It will not eliminate the labor requirement, but it will reduce what our current labor needs are. However, that trying to get those systems in every office takes time. We've got those systems currently in four of our locations. We're going to try to get those in the other six locations over the next 2 to 3 years. That'll help, but it certainly is not, you know, the overall remedy. We're hoping, like a lot of other companies out there, that this labor shortage issue will start to work itself out as we go into 22. So by the time we get into the next summer, we won't see as much of this as a problem as we do now, but we just don't know. So we're going to try to plan for whatever we may see next year.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 19th. 1,721 head were sold, 13 head of steers at 442 brought 203, 5 at 506 brought 155, 11 at 632 brought 143, 14 at 653 brought 147, 7 at 799 brought 143, 9 at 991 brought 132, 10 head of heifers at 324 brought 176, 19 at 489 brought 142, 4 at 566 brought 135, 3 at 635 brought 122, 5 at 725 brought 133, 7 at 772 brought 135.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 66.50. Bred cows, 375 to 1385. Butcher bulls, 60 to 87. Pairs brought 635 to 1610. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the Beef Sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yep. Hey, the Penny News. FYI, warning, Penny News is out a day early because of Thanksgiving. And you need to go pick up your new copy. And I'm just glancing through this one. And Saturday, December 11th at Hobart Stockyards at 11 a.m., special replacement cow sale. 100 young pairs, 100 bred cows, 50 replacement heifers, 150 bred heifers, and 15 breeding age bulls. Boom. Got any questions? Call Rex Fleming down there or get a hold of Michelle at 580-330-9777. You can remember that number pretty easy. But that's coming up Saturday, December 11th. A few weeks off here. Then you open up the special middle section of the Penny News, and that's the Today in Ag edition. Anyway, we got all. Matter of fact, I am wearing Farmers Union Co-op hat today on Facebook, so you can see my pretty hat and my ugly face to go with it. But anyway, they're all my sponsors in there: B&L Red Angus, Canucks and Irrigation, Agritech, SEI Agritech, Great Plains Bank, First National Bank, and Hobart Farm and Garden. And then here's my Jimmy tip of the week. When dumping a sack of cake out for your cows, open the bag before entering the pasture. That way you don't get ran over when you're opening it around them. And that happens around me. And I know some of you are going to text me, why don't you get you a cake feeder? Because it's annoying as heck. I can't back up to my gooseneck without having to get out more than once. And I don't have that many cattle, so it'll be just fine. And then there's Mr. Jerry Nine with the Woodward Livestock Auction. But he did say something here that was pretty interesting to highlight it. Some of our area has wheat pasture and some not. Feed is high, but if we can keep feeding, keep feeders and fats at these levels or higher than we can still make some money with high feed. But where it's going to be a big problem is when the cost of gain is higher than the price you're getting for your cattle. It's a true fact right there. If you track cost of what you're doing with your cattle, if you put them out on wheat pasture, if you wean them, whatever you do, if you'll just track all these one time, you'll get it figured out. And this past week, he said they sold 3 truckloads of black steers weighing 878 pounds that brought $163 0.60 cents per hundredweight, which is $1,436 per head. I like to see customers make money, and that is the only way the sale barn does good if our sellers do well. Even if you are a rancher or farmer who only sells cattle once in a while at the sale, I think it is wrong for you to not want your neighbors to do well financially. There is room for a lot of people to do well around you, and you still do good yourself. So this is Thanksgiving week, he says, and I hope you will remind all your family to list the things that they are thankful for, and all of us are more blessed than we realize. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged and feel like everything is falling apart, and if we will look around, there are always people worse off. Thank you, Mr. Jerry Nine, for that, but back to go pick up your penny news for they're already out. It's the most popular thing going in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. So anyway, I had a couple of texts in, and I want to share with you. This gentleman said that he would like for everybody to say a prayer for rain at 7:30 every morning. If anybody would like to pray every morning. So there you have it. And then another gentleman texted in. He says, I want to give thanks for KCO for making my day go better each day at work. Amen, brother. So anyway, when we come back, I'm going to finish up with the show today. We have some, before I go to break, sorry, I looked over there. I got to do this. I did it yesterday, and I'm going to do it again today. The Christmas giveaway, because shopping, Black Friday's coming up right after tomorrow. So I know everybody's going to be out shopping, doing their Black Friday thing. So anyway, there's four businesses that are each going to be giving away a $500 gift certificate to their store. Rogers Meat Market, Barbed Wire and Lace, the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet over there east of Clinton on I-40, and Dameron Jewelers. Find the store's QR code, open your iPhone's camera app, hold the camera steady on the code, then follow the instructions. You can enter at each store once a day, every day. The Rogers Meat Market giveaway is going to be Friday, December the 3rd. Bob Wire and Lace is on Thursday, December 16th. Friday, the 17th for Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, and Dameron's Jewelry on Saturday, December 18th. Four businesses, each one of them is giving away $500 gift certificate. Rogers Meat Market in Elk City, Bob Wire and Lace in Elk City, Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet east of Clinton, and Dameron's Jewelry in Elk City. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, November 23rd, we sold 744 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, November 18th, we sold 4,273 calves and feeders for a total of 5,017 cattle for the week. Killing cows 3 to 6 higher on Tuesday, bulls 2 to 5 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows 66 to 76.50. Then cows bring 40 to 58, bulls bring 78 to 87. 2 to 4-year-old bred cows 9.10 to 11.75, with a 5 to 8-year-old bred cows 7.50 to 13.10. 9 and older bred cows 7.50 to 9.85. 2 to 8-year-old pairs 10.75 to 14.75. With their 9 and older pairs, 9.50 to 10.75. Steer cattle, steers and heifers, feeders, very aggressive, 3 to 350 steers, 208 to 216, 4 to 450, 171 to 201, 5 to 550, 153 to 187, 6 to 650, 136 to 167, 7 to 750, 143 to 163.5, 8 to 850, 147 to 161.5, 850 to 9 weight steers, 145 to 164, and our 9 to 950 steers, 150-50 to 154-75. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 177 to 182, 4 to 450, 133 to 161, 5 to 550, 136 to 162, 6 to 650, 133 to 153.5, 7 to 750, 139 to 156, 8 to 850, 142 to 149.75, and our 894 to 899 heifers, 140 to 143.5. Remember, we have 14 feeder buyers every week to ensure you get top dollar, plus I stay in the ring start to finish, make sure we get the most we can for every head. No sale this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, but we'll be back after that for three Tuesdays and three Thursdays by the end of the year. Remind your family all the things they have to be thankful for. Thanksgiving Jury 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Our forecast looks kind of shady, y'all. No rain in the forecast. Not weighing on my book, but the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast today, 70 degrees for a high. Winds will be out of the south-southwest at 16 to 21 miles an hour. About 5 o'clock this afternoon, expect that wind to shift. It'll be a little bit out of the west for a few minutes, and then boom, out of the north, here it comes. And it's going to be breezy all night. And we're going to be looking at 15 to 20 mile an hour wind, gusting up to 30 out of the north, 35 for a low. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, 52 degrees. And then Thursday night, 28 for a low. The winds will be switching from out of the north back out of the south tomorrow evening. Sunny looks beautiful, or sunny. Friday looks sunny and beautiful at 64 degrees for a high with winds out of the south at 8 to 15 miles an hour. Saturday, the wind switched a little bit from out of the west to the north, 68 for a high. Sunday, 61 for a high. So, I mean, it looks like a really beautiful week coming up, decent for November. I'll take it, except we need some moisture, so. Anyway, that's the way that one goes. All right, a few more things before we close the show out today. As most of you guys know, last Friday, the House passed the BBB Act. But do the cost outweigh the benefits? And this is on the Build Back Better plan that passed, talking about agriculture. We weeded out all that other crap, and we're just talking agriculture on this story. But on Friday, November 19th, the U.S. House of Representatives passed President Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan, also known as the Reconciliation Package. The vote came from months and months of debate and countless rewrites to the plan. The bipartisan infrastructure deal is now law, and we will reap its benefits on new job and economic growth and the ability to compete around the world. The American Rescue Plan continues to get our economy back on track as we recover from the pandemic. Together with the Build Back Better bill, we really have truly transformation opportunity to rebuild the physical, natural, and humane infrastructure of our nation, said Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. The $1.7 trillion plan invests more than $90 billion in climate-smart agriculture, forestry research, and rural development, child nutrition, and debt relief, according to the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. Here's a couple of things that it covers that we separated out from the rest of the bill that has anything to do with agriculture. Climate smart agriculture, $27 billion to get farmers and ranchers the tool they've asked for to keep leading on climate. I didn't remember any of us asking him, but I guess we got it. It's the biggest investment in the conservation since the Dust Bowl. Reaching out as many as 240,000 farms and 130 million acres of cropland per year. In the forestry part of it, there's $27 billion to restore forests, fight wildfires, and sequester carbon and tree, the biggest ever investment in restoring forests, wildlife, wildfire prevention, and climate-smart forestry. Excuse me. Research, $2 billion for agriculture, climate research, and agriculture research facilities. Rural development and energy, $18.3 billion to invest in rural prosperity and help rural communities transition into cleaner energy. Child nutrition, $10 billion to invest in child nutrition programs to feed millions of additional kids during the school year and over the summer. Debt relief, $6 billion in additional funding to expand support to economically distressed borrowers and underserved farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners in the high poverty areas. The Build Back Better incentive is a historical step forward. According to this article, it's going to enable us, once passed and signed by the president, because it's still got to go through the Senate, to remain competitive and resilient in a global economy into the future, while at the same time helping American families cut costs in the areas of health care, education, housing, and increase their ability to cope with any increased costs, Valsack said in a press briefing. Valsack said in a briefing that the plan won't prevent obstacles to farmers who want to pass on their operation to the onto their next generation, noting that estate tax code stepped up bases would not be eliminated. He said corporations and rich individuals would pay more. Our corporations have made more than $1 billion and didn't pay any tax, and individuals who made more than $25 million a year, they're going to pay a little extra tax, and I think they can probably afford a little extra, according to what he said. And to finish that up, he says here, however, some organizations stand opposed to the legislation. The American Farm Bureau Federation sent a letter to the U.S. House Representatives Tuesday, November 16th, stating, after watching months of continuous partisan debate surrounding the Build Back Better Act, that AFBF stands in opposition to the legislation. While some elements of the cancellation package would benefit agriculture, the massive amount of spending and tax increases required to pay for the plan outweigh the gains we would see here in rural America. In the press conference, Valsack replied, with respect to the Farm Bureau, I just don't think that aligns with the terms and conditions of this bill. The initial proposal contained an elimination of stepped-up bases, and notwithstanding, in fact, there was a provision in the initial proposal that would have exempted 98% of the farms in the country today from having to be concerned about this. There will still, I think be a level of concern that folks had. The provision is not in that bill. He said, I don't see anything in that bill that necessarily compromises the ability of family farms to stay in business. And that's coming from Mr. Secretary of State Valsack. So anyway, that's what he did on that deal. If you can get on Facebook on KECO FM, you can get on there. And U.S. Representative Frank Lucas was in a town hall meeting Monday night here in Elk City, and you can watch that thing. And in there, he responded to this bill, and none of the U.S. senators and none of the U.S. representatives from Oklahoma voted for this bill. I think it was 223 to 203 or 212. It was a close vote, so it just barely passed on that deal. Also, I'm thinking about it. U.S. Representative and local rancher Frank Lucas will be on my show next Tuesday at noon, right off the bat. I'm coming on the show with him good and strong. He'll be back in Washington. He's at home this week for Thanksgiving, I'm sure. But he will be on here, and I'm going to quiz him a little bit on some of the things that affect our agriculture industry out here, and it's not going to be just necessarily about beef producers and processors. I'm going to ask him a few little things about that, but if you got something that you want me to ask him about it, I'll have you guys text in Monday, and I'll write them down, because our new text line doesn't save texts. They're gone the next day, so I can't remember any of that stuff. So you got some stuff you want to talk about, it will be great. Well, the USDA, I don't know where we're getting all this money. They got all these packages that's been passed in the last 2 years since COVID started. And I'm telling you, the United States of America has spent a lot of money in this. I know where the money's coming from. It ain't there. But this deal here, they're investing in the strengthening of the meat chain supply. The pandemic revealed an increased interest in smaller and local meat processing facilities as a way to add to the current meat processing sector, as well as consumers' desire to connect directly with local producers. Hey, them guys, I bet they've been listening to my show, because what have I been telling you guys for the last 2 months? Buy local beef from local producers and have it processed locally, and you'll save money and you'll get good beef. So I've been telling you this, and these guys are listening to me. So they passed this bill because of Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm sure of it. $32 million in grants have been awarded to 167 meat and poultry slaughter and processing facilities to support expanded capacity and efficiency through the Meat and Poultry Inspection Readiness Grant Program. And if you hear a racket in here, this fly is driving me up the wall right now, and I'm getting ready to hammer on it. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack said the investment supports local and regional meat and poultry processors as they recover from the pandemic and also work to expand capacity. With this grant funding, meat and poultry processing businesses can cover the cost of improvements such as expanding facilities, modernizing processing equipment, and meeting packaging, labeling, and food safety requirements needed to achieve a federal grant of inspection under the Federal Meat Inspection Act or the Poultry Production Act. Achieving a federal grant of an inspection or operating under the Cooperative Interstate Shipment Program allows meat and poultry processors to ship products across state lines, pursue new market opportunities, and better meet consumer and producer demands along the supply chain, Mr. Vilsack says. And so there you have it. They listened to my show, and these new 167 meat processing plants got some more money. Actually, how much was it? $32 million. I wanted 60, but they settled with me with $32 million. Guys, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there, and beef. It's what's for Thanksgiving tomorrow. That's what we're having. So happy holidays, and we'll see you next Monday. God bless. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is KECO, Elk City.
This is a Fox News alert. A verdict in Georgia on Lisa Brady. It was read just minutes ago in the case against three men charged in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Fox